Welcome to the Business Beyond Performance podcast. I'm Joe Staub, and I'm here with my co-host, Matt Powell. This is episode zero, the introduction. Welcome, everybody, and welcome, Matt.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Excited to kick this thing off and talk about episode zero and all the great guests we got coming up.
I know, and all the cool things we have. Obviously, in typical former strength coach fashion and current strength coach slash nutritionist fashion, maybe it's mostly the nutritionist side. We're doing things a little backwards. We actually have already recorded a bunch of stuff, and we're actually recording this episode on Cinco de Mayo 2021. Shout out. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. So the goal of episode zero for everyone who's going to listen to this is the episode for them to go back to and listen to first before they dive into everything. So that way they understand kind of what our intent is, what the point of doing this was, and why we are here now getting ready to launch this into the universe. So kind of the first question that people are going to say is, well, why are you doing this? So I'm going to say, Matt, it was your idea. Why are we doing this?
That's a great question, man. I think the biggest thing that I wanted to do when I hit you up, somebody like yourself who's so incredibly interconnected with so many different strength coaches, nutritionists, dietitians, physical therapists, athletic trainers, et cetera, everybody throughout the entire performance field, even the data scientists, cognitive performance coaches, things like that, is I want to just kind of see what they do besides just coach, just train, just teach, just educate, what else they do on the side. Because so many of those people take these amazing skills and they teach other things, do other things, grow other things, but they never talk about it, right? Or if they do and other people want to copy them, they never really lay out that groundwork. I mean, I know when you were sitting at UConn for your undergraduate and graduate, I know when I was sitting at Temple and other places that I went to school, I did not have the chance to learn these different things. Yeah, I learned all about the Krebs cycle and this and that, but nobody really teaches you how to build a business from the exercise science standpoint or how to grow something. So for me, it was an opportunity to go back, learn from the people who are doing it the best in the field and be able to apply it or help others apply it to their own life and what they want to do.
No, and for me, it was very similar just in that other step because I'm now out of coaching. You know, for those who don't know, me and Matt knew each other when I was an undergrad and Matt was a grad student at UConn. I was an athlete and I was also coached by Matt. Matt also coached my wife in the strength and conditioning room, you know, with the UConn staff. And then I moved into being a GA. Matt was still a GA. Matt moved on. I did a bunch of things. And now I'm done in the coaching side. I work in the remanufactured medical device space. So I work in a totally different industry, totally different thing. I haven't coached an athlete in a weight room since 2017. So for me, I always knew that being a strength coach was just part of my journey. It never defined me, right? I had very set goals in that profession. I wanted to earn a certain amount of money because that means I achieved, you know, kind of the apex in terms of success, you know, financially as a strength coach in the collegiate space anyways. I wanted to train an Olympic gold medalist, which I was fortunate enough to do. And I wanted to be a head strength coach at Division I University, which again, I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to do, and I didn't screw it up too bad. So I achieved all my goals and I was, you know, not even 30. And it was time for me to move on to the next phase. So I, you know, in pursuing further education, pursuing other things, got out of coaching and moved into a business. And I fortunately had mentors and had some people whispering in my ear my whole time. You know, so I always had that mindset. And for me, when Matt kind of proposed this idea, it was, okay, hey, I can give back to someone who was like me at some point, who didn't have those mentors, didn't already have the, you know, kind of the predetermined plan, you know. I always tell people, you know, I was a strength coach. It didn't define who I am. Some people are defined by their jobs. You know, when you ask them, you know, who are you? What do you do? They say, you know, I'm a strength coach. I do this. Well, I never said that. I said, yeah, I work in athletics, you know, but who am I? You know, I'm this. I like this. I like that. So I never had that singular definition. And because of that, I always said, okay, well, how can I help people have that bigger perspective, have that broader knowledge? And for me, it was also the business side. So it was kind of a natural thing for me to talk with you about this. I mean, that's kind of the simplest way to say it.
For sure.
That brings me to the next question. For anyone listening, Matt, what is your side hustle? Because this is kind of the, you know, business beyond performance. So what do you do for performance now? And then how do you have a side hustle? What do you do? All those kind of things.
Yeah. So working in the tactical space, that's all I'm allowed to say about it. And then from there, I also have a side hustle. I have a few rental properties that I own. I also have flipped a few houses, and then occasionally I'll do some consulting on the side within my, you know, subject matter expert realm of dietetics, you know, being a full registered dietitian and then also being a strength coach. So I use those and leverage those to build off of each other to really, you know, improve my net worth and improve my connections and improve different aspects. Much like yourself, Joe, when people would ask me, what do you do? I would also very rarely say strength and conditioning coach. I would just say either coach, or now I would say contractor, or this or that. But I very rarely talk about what I do, just because, like you said, it's a small component of you. And honestly, with how many people that we know from our different peer groups that have gone on to burn out from what they do, again, going back to not just strength coaches, because this is not the only people who are important for this podcast, but for dietitians, for mental performance, cognitive coaches, for athletic trainers, for physical therapists, for massage therapists, people burn out because they become so defined by this, but don't find the pleasure they thought they were going to, or it's not as easy as their hopes it was going to be, or it's not nearly, and I think you can both and I laugh about this, as lucrative as we thought it was going to be, right? We're not making that Cochran from Alabama money, or, you know, Matt Rhea now who's there, but you're not making that money very often, or that Mariucci as the athletic trainer at LSU who's been there for 30 years. That's very rarely, that's the 0.01% of athletic population that reach that pinnacle. So those people go on and they don't know what to do with themselves, and they feel lost and they change, right? They go into real estate, they go into business, they go into medical sales, they go into whatever, or the medical profession. I know at least two or three people I can think of from your grade or class or whatever the correct term is that went on to become nurses and doctors because they realized it was unfulfilling. And that's an awesome passion to move on to, but it was because they were burnt out, not because they were bad coaches or bad trainers or bad therapists, et cetera, or professionals in general. So I think the other reason I wanted to do this was to grow that person, to make them understand you can find happiness in multiple components of your life and use your current situation and your current goals and skills to become more than you are now.
No, well said. And I'll summate it in how I think of everything you just said is, if your values aren't aligned with your actions, you're facing catastrophe. And for a lot of people in the, and again, it's the business beyond performance, because performance and the way we operationally define it are those different roles within the athletic, tactical, human performance nexus, you know, whether it's in sport or an Olympic sport, a professional sport, or now the tactical is a huge space in that. But it's also the high school. It's also, you know, the private setting. It's also all of these other areas. And, you know, as you'll see in the cross section of guests we have people who are CEOs of, you know, sport tech, sport nutrition, sport, you know, equipment companies. We have strength coaches who were in, who are out, kind of like me. We have strength coaches at this level, that level. We have CEOs of other companies who used to be in the, you know, the fitness space, but now are in the investment space in that world. So we're trying to take a cross section of everyone who's in performance. And the other way we can operationally define performance. And I think, Matt, one of the reasons why me and you over the last decade or so have stayed connected, you know, over the years, you know, somewhat peripherally a text message here and there, and now more recently, obviously a lot of communication, is we kind of hold those big values, you know, family, you know, developing others, giving back, you know, not only from a charitable standpoint, but also from a building and developing paying it forward standpoint. The other big one I think most people in this space, a lot of our guests have in common, and I think people who listen to this will, is they're always striving to continue bettering themselves, whether that's academically, you know, yourself and I'm a product of that. You know, I have multiple advanced degrees, you do as well. You have multiple certifications and professional credentials. You know, I have them in different industries now. I'm a senior human resources certified professional. So, you know, I went from CSCS to SHRM SCP. You know, I think I might be the only person in the world who has both of those. That's a pretty weird mix. But it's that drive to better yourself. And it's something you even said too. You know, you're doing your job, you're doing all these other things, but you're learning all these other things. And I just said all these other things twice, right? So you're doing your job and all these other things within the job, right? And I purposely said it twice because you're doing all these other things in the job. That's coaching more, doing consultations within your single subject matter expertise. Then you're doing all these other things in terms of business, real estate, you know, house flipping, property management, you know, all of that stuff. So you're actually taking three or four careers, driving them together, leveraging the knowledge and skills across each, and then, but also keeping them somewhat compartmentalized because, you know, you can't show up to your normal job and do your real estate stuff, and you can't be on your real estate stuff making people bench press. So, but you can take the transferable skills. And that's, I think, one of the big, again, it's a continuing edge piece. And the second one would be the transferable skills that, you know, me and you are like-minded in that I can use experience and knowledge and stuff in category A, and it may not translate perfect to category B, but I can take, you know, the tough moments, the happy moments, the learning experience. Hey, how did I have to present myself in this situation? Or how did I have to develop a strategy over here? And I can take those lessons and apply them over here, though I'm doing something different. So I think, again, like I said, the audience who has that kind of mindset is going to really enjoy a lot of what we talk about and the guests we have, because every single one of them is like that. I mean, you don't get to be who some of these people are without constantly sharpening your sword, constantly striving, constantly connecting the dots. Because yeah, I think you're not making the lifestyle you want without doing that. You know, it's very few and far between. To your point, you named a few. I could name a few, and I think the list would stop there with the people who could truly say they had the longevity in one place, they were able to stay and be somewhere for 20, 30 years, and they had the financial stability or financial growth that's all they had to do. You know, I could probably name a dozen people right now who the only thing they do is their job because they have the ability to in that performance bubble. There's not many, and, you know, I wasn't one.
So one of the things you touched on just a second ago that I just want to bring back up are those transferable skills, right? Or one of our guests that I was super excited to have on was Jesse Wright, and he talked about soft skills. He actually wrote an entire book about it from the viewpoint of a young strength coach, which I thought was a fantastic book. The excerpt he sent to us was fantastic. And it's something that just breaks down so well. If you have those soft skills and you develop them and work on them and can find ways to, like you said, make them transferable, it's an amazing way to build yourself across all of those. I can't tell you how many times I've taken life lessons from, you know, different professions, both as a dietitian and as a strength coach, and put them together to make them work for real estate or for, you know, consulting or whatever else. So that was very well said, for sure. The other thing I wanted to bring up that you mentioned at the end there, and it's probably my next question for this little episode zero, is making sure that I ask you, what does financial freedom mean to you? And how are you going to help people in the future kind of work towards that?
Mm-hmm. So at the most basic level, financial freedom to me is not having to think about doing the thing I want to do in that moment. And what I mean by that is, so, you know, you obviously know Rachel, my wife. So if me and Rach are, you know, at the grocery store and she looks at me and says, oh, you know, we should really grill tonight. Let's get some steaks. I don't want to have to think about what steak do I buy? How much steak can I buy? I just want to say, hey, I want those two. Let's go. Because there's a level of, not to say nonchalantness or laissez-faireness to it, but it's not something that I ever have to sit there and say, I have $5.99. What am I going to do? I can do A or B. Like, you know, I can keep the lights on or I can put food on my kids' plates. And again, there are people in that situation, and not to say that's a bad thing, that there are people who truly struggle and there are people who are truly in those situations. To me, part of financial freedom and, you know, the ability to help other people understand that is when you can get to that point where you have that mindset where you don't have to think about it, you have obviously kind of a liquidity or a cash on hand where you can do that stuff. The other part to financial freedom to me is the ability to work when I choose to work. And that's one of those big things that, again, I've joked since I was about 20 years old, I'm 45 and done. And people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, like I'm 45 and done. When I'm 45, I will choose the work I want to do. I won't have to work, because from the time I was about 20, I said, okay, I have 25 years that if I can, you know, basically grind it out longer, harder, faster, and better than everyone else, I, in theory, I'll bet on myself, I can get to the point where I'm 45 and I should have the liquidity. I should have the assets. I should have the net worth. I should have the investments. I should have the, whichever way you want to go, that I can then say, yeah, I'll do that. Or, eh, I don't feel like doing that right now. Or, you know what, maybe I'll take a couple weeks off. Or, you know what, maybe, you know what, hey, this year, I'm just done. I'm going to hang with my kids and coach all week, you know, coach them all every day in three sports as I'm driving around. So that to me is financial freedom, because it allows me to do what I choose to do and not have to think about it. All right, flip it on you. How about you?
Man, for me, financial freedom is very similar. I think that was a fantastic way to look at that. But for me, the biggest thing is the time, right? I want to be able to say, hey, I'm taking this 2 weeks. I've never done that, right? I was a classic strength coach, still in the tactical space, way more flexible. I can definitely take time if I want to, but I've become such a person who becomes his job, or becomes, I'm not going to miss because of this guy or that guy or this event or that event, or, you know, deployment's coming up. I better be there for X, Y, and Z. As opposed to now, or, you know, in the near future, hopefully being able to say, hey, I'm going to take a month and I'm going to take the wife and we're going to go to X, Y, or Z. For us, that would be Europe, because she's never been, right? I've taken her to the Caribbean and other cool places, but she's never been there. So I want to go to these cool places. And the other part about financial freedom is having the ability to take the money when I want out of different investments, as opposed to sitting there every day looking at it, staring at it, just hoping and praying and just wishing that it's going to grow, and just knowing, like, hey, I've done the right thing. I've put in the work. Like, the first time you buy a rental property is the scariest thing in the world, right? You hand over this large check, you worked your butt off for it. What if they don't pay rent? What if I can't afford the first piece of maintenance that I have to do on the house? What if I didn't plan for this CapEx or that CapEx? What if my numbers were wrong? But the older you get and the more experience you get, the easier it is to step back and say, I did my homework. I did everything right. And even if things do go wrong, even if I lose a little bit of money this month or over this first year, I'm okay, because I know long-term I made the right decision. So for me, that's another piece of financial freedom, is that peace of mind, knowing that you're in a situation where, just like when you're buying the steaks, where you can make a mistake or have an issue or have a problem or a COVID happens, and you can still bounce back from that and still be able to be okay financially.
Yep. No, well said. All right. So as we get towards kind of the end of this, because again, we're just kind of giving everyone that basic barometer. Anyone who jumps into listening, you know, most of you, as you guys will see on kind of the intros to the episodes, we always reference in some way or the other, hey, check out episode zero if it's your first time, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, what else do you want someone to know before we have other guests on and it's just me and you talking? Kind of, you know, we've hit on a lot of things, and I think one of them about paying it forward, and you kind of asked me in that financial freedom question, how do you teach others? So let's get to that point, right? What else do you want people to know? I'll answer it after you, even though I skipped it when you asked me. You know, what would you like other people to take out of the lessons you've learned and that we're trying to kind of distill and pass on through doing this?
Yeah, the thing that I want to pass on most is that you don't need to wait till you're 10, 15, 20 years into this field, if you will, or into this profession before you can either A, give back, or B, actually figure out how to do that side hustle. I think if you look back at Joe at 25 or me at 25 and that same dumbass who's a GA or a first year assistant or, you know, whatever your current situation is, if that dumbass had taken his money besides just the 401k or the Roth or the whatever, had actually applied himself to do more, right? I think that we'd be even better positions now. And I wish we had known that or had that mentor. And we were both very blessed to have amazing, you know, graduate school experiences, and also to have amazing mentors who coached us at different places, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest thing for here is I want to give back to people, not from the coaching standpoint only or from the dietitian standpoint only, but also the financial side. Understand, if you invest now and do this thing right and do that thing right, or listen to these people who are our guests who have been fantastically successful because of these specific things they did, that's how I want to pay it forward. Hey, how does Stan Efferding become a guy who owns three or four different revenue producing streams? How did Jim Stepani go on to have a multi-million-dollar supplement industry leading brand where he actually has science behind it and it sells well? That almost never happens. How did Joe Ken go on to coach multiple years, not only in college, but in the NFL? How did all the different people we talked to go from, you know, Jesse Wright with 17, 18 years of MBA experience and still be able to be successful in the private sector by being an author? These are people who have crafted other skills and other talents that they knew they already had, and then they honed in on them and really bet on themselves to create this amazing situation for them. So that's what I want to do to pay it back. And I also want to be there for people when they have questions and want to reach out about any sort of investing, whether it's real estate, crypto, subject matter expert consulting, coaching people online, however I can help or whoever I can connect you with. That's another great thing about this is, Joe, I know I've sent 5 or 6 emails probably per guest to introduce them to other people that I think would be like-minded. You know, Adam Feit just got his doctorate. He was an NFL strength coach, a college strength coach, also owned his own business, was extremely successful there. And now I've connected him with 4 or 5 people who want to do similar stuff to what he got his PhD in, with mental performance and kind of putting coaching and mental performance together. So Joe, how do you want to give back?
So I'll kind of take what you're just saying, and there's even an episode where I reference connecting one of the guests to someone else multiple times, actually, I think. So there's that, right? There's, and you kind of referenced earlier in the episode about how, you know, kind of the network and knowing people. And that's one of the things I've always prided myself in is, you know, I can talk to the friggin' wall. I can talk to pretty much anybody. So I've met a lot of people. So one of them is connecting people, right? Like depending on who you read, you know, there's different archetypes and personality types. And one of those schools of thought, I'm definitely a connector, right? I know you, I know you, I know the both things that are going on, but you don't know each other. I can connect you so that way you can have a synergy and do better, or at least know you exist. So there's one level of me that's connecting people and kind of pushing the ball forward, you know, helping someone climb the mountain, whatever analogy you want to use. Then the big thing to me is I have a really diverse background, right? You know, my first master's degree is in exercise phys kines. My second master's degree is an MBA in business. I have business mentors. I have human resources as a background. I have all these things. So as a decathlete, I'm kind of the jack of all trades, master of none. And I've literally kind of owned that. And what I found is not everyone, that's not good for everybody. So don't try and be that if that's not you. Some people are truly better as single stream experts, right? I'm kind of the, you know, 10 miles wide, 1 mile deep versus the 1 inch wide, 50 miles deep, or the 50 miles wide, 1 inch deep, right? I'm kind of in that middle. So I think the best way for me to give back is taking all of that cumulative stuff and, you know, and I'm writing in my notes, you know, I got my rocket book going, you know, rocket book, you'll be here someday, one day, trust me. I'll will that into existence. So it's to expose people to ideas, get them to critically think and think critically, to be able to disseminate the message and apply it to their context. And then kind of the last piece is own their own path. And I was taught this by one of my big mentors and he's actually a family member in my life, but also a very successful businessman, was owning your own path. You know, life throws a lot at you. It's timing, it's luck, it's the work you put in. Sometimes it's just, you know, the roll of the dice. You never know, right? That's the whole life thing, right? But if you own your own path, and to your point, you know, if we were 20 years old sitting in the, you know, the field house at UConn, you know, putting our money together, investing in Google, you know, or investing in Facebook, you know, we'd be a lot better off than we are today because those things were on the cusp. But again, we had to put the time in to be good enough in the subject we were pursuing, which was coaching at the moment, strength and conditioning specifically. But own your own path. You know, don't be afraid. To your point, why not? Why can't you be 22 getting a degree and doing this? Why can't you, you know, especially now with technology and all these other things. So, and again, it goes back to the first point, expose people. Right? Not in a negative way, expose them to what's possible, because as soon as they can see and they have the tools to do, then they can own their own path. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I love that, man. I think giving back in different ways is so important. And everybody thinks it's always money or this or that. A lot of times it's just time. And then when the person does reach out to you, right? I can't tell you how many young strength coaches and young dietitians or people who want to do both, right? I've had dietitians who want to be strength coach reach out to me. I've had strength coaches who want to be dietitians reach out to me about the programs I did, the certifications I got, blah, blah, blah. I try to answer their questions the best I can. Sometimes it's probably not as deep as they would like just because I'm not sure exactly what they want. But if nothing else, I always answer, respond. I always send links or quick information and just try to help them understand the best way I can to give back so they can hopefully have an easier path than I did. So that's one of my other big goals, is having people not go through the same struggles and issues I had from a lack of knowledge or understanding, but to educate them and help them move forward.
Yep. No, and kind of wrap this part up and probably wrap up episode zero. You know, even for me, kind of in the preface and the introduction to the book I wrote, it was a lot of these concepts. And again, I know you well enough to know that we share these philosophies because we were also mentored by a lot of the same people. It was kind of instilled in us, like, yeah, you do pay it forward. Yeah, you do help the next person. Yeah. Like, I actually made this comment with the COO who I work for now. I was having a pretty involved personnel discussion with him about a situation at work. And, you know, one of the comments I made was, the only reason I got to where I'm at is because I had people who, for no other reason than they were good people, chose to invest their time, effort, and energy in me because they either believed in me, they liked me, or, you know, maybe they didn't, but they just said, that's what I do, and I'm doing it for this kid because he's in front of me, and that's what I'm going to do. So, you know, we've always kind of taken that. So hopefully everyone listening and everyone who tunes in, you kind of take what we're trying to get out of this. And that's, again, to pay it forward, help the next person in line, and kind of keep that snowball going downhill. Because again, I'm not personally in it anymore, but I still have a hand in it because of my friends and, you know, spending over a decade in there. And I want to see it good because, again, it's been a good industry for me, and it's provided me the opportunity to be where I'm at and given me the experiences and the knowledge and traveling the country and doing all these things. So, you know, the opportunity to help the next person, and now also help the next person grow and expand beyond just coaching into business, into, you know, investment, into strategy, I think is a huge thing. So with that, Matt, if there's anything else, I think we kind of closed the intro episode to the Business Beyond Performance podcast.
Yeah, I got one more little tidbit I just want to throw out there for all of those people out there who want to do data science or get into more of the wearable technology field, just because that's becoming such a big thing. This is another great podcast for you because we have 4, 5, 6 different wearable technology companies, their representatives, their CEOs, their COOs, people who do the actual data science. So just make sure you really get in here. Joe was actually a large part of that for like 3 or 4 years, I believe.
Yep. Couple years after coaching, was on the outside, still, again, working with businesses, you know, building the businesses and then helping them bring back into coaches to help the coaches.
So even for those people who want to get into that side of it, or even just want to invest in those things, this would be a great introduction and a great kind of a segue and modality for you to kind of learn from that for sure. So Joe, I think you crushed it, man. Super excited to get these people into our actual guests. We have some amazing ones, like we've already kind of mentioned and talked about. Some of them might not be household names, but they are amazing people who you can learn a lot from, whether they're, you know, Instagram influencers like Christy Sine, whether they're mental performance coaches working in the MLB like Andy Reese. I mean, they're just some great people and some great episodes coming up for sure.